Hi, I'm Paul, and this is Heart of Glenanus, a program about the cultural and service organisations around your town and in the region. I'm out at the New South Wales Agricultural and Research Advisory Station.
Now, I'm lucky enough to have one of the main coordinators, if not the chief coordinator, Carol, here today. So how many years in the planning has this been?
I guess seriously it's probably been in the last 6 months, but we had the concept probably about 12 months ago, so yeah.
And it would appear you've had a lot of coordination from other departments with their displays.
Yeah, so we have a number of trade displays here today highlighting some of our collaborations. So we've got the LLS, we've got a trailer here talking about what they do. We've got Norco, which is a local company, they're talking about what they're doing. We've had Glenrac, which is a local landcare association, the Grassland Society of New South Wales, and we've also had Newer. So I've probably forgotten someone, but they're the people I can see at the moment, so...
Well, we had an excellent interview just before you came on air with Gordon King from the Dreadnought Boys Association. That, along with the earliest establishment of this station, has such a rich history, I think you'd have to agree. Have I missed out any part of that? Been a huge employer, I believe, over the years.
Yeah, so I think we've had about 330, I've probably got that number a bit wrong, but staff work here at the station over the 120 years. And that's sort of research, advisory staff, technical staff, but also the farm and support staff that help make the whole thing operate and function and allow the researchers to do what they need to do. So it's been a really good, you know, a lot of people work here over the years, and a lot of those people came to Glenanus to take up that job opportunity. So it's been a good, you know, influx of people into the Glenanus community as well. And as far as I know, most of those people have been on committees, they've had kids, school committees, things like that. So there's that value add of, you know, the research station is not just about the research station, it is about the community.
That's Jeff, not the...
Yeah, I know, but sometimes they'll answer you back.
The Flavio, as I said, he's our gadget man. So this unit here is a walkover weighing unit. In his hand, this pink thing is a collar system that they use to do some gadget measurement. But I'll let Flavio talk for a minute and then we can talk again.
Yep, good morning. I'm Flavio Varenga, as Brad said, from Brazil. Yeah, so today I'll be giving a little bit of overview about what we are doing in Armadal and here as well, and also about the e-grazer collar partnership. It's a collaboration work with CSRO. So efficiency of livestock can be measured as a ratio of inputs and outputs, like feed intake, kilograms of feed intake, feed consumed, and kilograms of meat produced or calves weaned. So in this way, we thought, well, and develop a device that could measure feed intake. And we come up with the e-grazer collars that can determine feed intake from cattle based on the grazing behavior. So this e-grazer collar has a wireless sensor network, and it records and transmits real data on, for example, speed of movement, movement of the head, like heads up or down in the animal. Now we are doing some work on more specific behavior as bite rate or bite mass. And from that we can, well, we know where and when animals are grazing and how much pasture is consumed. So this is the latest version. So there's a solar panel, as you can see here. So this allows us to deploy for a long-term period. There is an accelerometer inside that 50 hertz, that means collect 50 samples per second. There's a GPS as well, and the GPS collects one sample per second. So these collars will be deployed in this heifer here, 97 animals. They are Angus, Hereford, and Wagyu, and they stay for probably a month.
You're listening to the heart of Glen Innes. So I'm talking to Trent Stanley about precision agriculture. Can you describe it for the listeners?
Precision agriculture is agriculture where you're trying to use your inputs more strategically or wisely.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves collating a lot of data together to do that. Part of what we got on display here today is a soil mapping service. Just going to be hitting the paddocks shortly. Essentially, it maps difference in your soil, and then you have to determine what that difference is. Some of the case studies we've done that is a pH difference or a soil structural difference or underlying rock shelf difference, so some kind of physical difference in your soil. The idea is you map that, then you work out what those differences are, and then you work out your inputs based on that, which cropping situation could be fertilizer, seed, soil ameliorants like ag lime, that kind of thing. So
seems to be that you're trying to bring it to more people and make it more accessible.
Yeah, like all these things, they started off 10 or 15 years ago, probably prohibitively expensive and too hard to do. Now they're one of the one things around here that's actually getting cheaper. So, you know, for sort of, $50 to $100 a hectare, probably, so old speak, maybe $20, $40 an acre, you can get your, soils mapped and actually a little bit of testing done there too to determine what those differences are. It's a one-off one. Once that's done, unless you do serious earthworks with some pretty big gear, that will never change.
Once it's done, it's done. So you're just in the launch phase of it now?
It's quite literally just trying to roll into some wet paddocks as we speak. So it's quite early on in the piece. There's a few more of these machines turning up in Australia all the time.
So new to
this kind of area.
Well, good to see you out here at the Ag Station, and good talking to you, Trent.
Yeah, good to talk to you. It's been a great day.
Beautiful.
Turn the weather on for us.
Oh, yes,
I'll take it home with me.
Where are you based?
Grafton.
Okay.
I'm based at, yeah.
Cheers. Thanks, Trent. I'm talking to Chris Shands, a former staff member. G'day, Chris.
Yeah, g'day. It's lovely to have a word today.
Yeah, beautiful day. We're at the 120th anniversary event.
Yeah, and I remember the 100-year anniversary event. So 20 years down the track, it's fantastic to be here and to see how the research station has developed and as it's starting to expand and the interesting projects that are going on.
Yeah. And so the history of the place, it started in 1902.
It is. It's got an awfully long history, so 120 years of agricultural research and then all sorts of facets of that. I mean, they used to run a tobacco breeding program, you know, years and years ago. There were all sorts of small crops. There was a dairy here. They would produce vegetable crops, and then you've got all the as well as fruit, apples and pears.
Because I saw a white clover shed.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the pasture breeding program, of course. And then they had, you know, a piggery here, and they had very, very well renowned Clydesdale horse, and those horses were bred and spread around other commercial farmers around the district, and probably further than that for breeding back in the early days.
So when they were a beast of burden,
basically. That's right. They still ploughed with those horses up until probably the 1920s, 30s. You know, so it's had a really interesting and diverse history.
And what's the focus nowadays?
Well, the focus is looking at commercial and profitable agricultural areas. So very big and very strong research projects going on in improved pasture and things like the white clover breeding program, the fescue breeding program. There's been quite a lot of work done in native pastures and management of those pastures, as well as some of the tropical pastures that are suitable to places like Ashford and those sort of environments. So that's the pasture side of it. The livestock side of it, we've got a very large cattle breeding program which is looking at multi-breeds and comparing the different breeds, but also, you know, getting information from the different herds that are being run in terms of their productivity.
Well, I went on the bus trip and I got a bit of description of that, so I'll play that next.
There's been different projects with sheep. In the early days that I was here, back in the sort of mid-1980s, Doug Fowler had a terrific project here where they're developing up using ultrasound scanning to identify twin, single and ewes that aren't carrying a lamb. So that was then developed commercially, and now there's millions of sheep around all different states of Australia that are scanned for pregnancy every year, and then management is then put into ensuring that more of those lambs survive and add profit to the rural industry.
And Chris, if you're going to say something to people around town and Glen about the place and what it means to the town, what would you say?
Well, it's a bit of an institution, and you know, when you drive up the Wellingrove Road and come past quite a imposing building, which is built in the 1920s for the Dreadnought boys, and they were trainee agricultural boys. They were only 12, 13 to come from England and to learn agricultural skills and then to be given jobs out on farms. You know, that's an amazing history for this district in itself. But then when you look at the different research projects that go on here and the fact that it is a really important local employer, employ staff, they're also buying plenty of stuff in town and keeping that economy going. It's a really important asset for the area.
And there's sheep shearing for high school students here?
Yeah, okay, so lots of training has been performed here over the years. So I just briefly mentioned the Dreadnought boys and their involvement. But then there's been all sorts of training programs over those years, which included things like shearer training and giving, you know, high school students a chance to see what it's like to hold a handpiece without having to go onto a commercial farm where the farmer might be a bit concerned about second cuts of the wool or the sheep getting a nick or two.
You know, so low stakes environment.
Well, we get the top shearer trainers to come through TAFE and those organisations to assist with all of that training. And, you know, we mightn't have produced dozens of potential new shearers, but we certainly will have got a few on the books and who now be shearing, and which is a great success.
Yeah. This has been The Heart of Glen Innes, a program about the cultural and service organisations around your town and in the region. Thanks for listening. Well, thanks a lot, Chris, for talking to me today. And what sort of music do you want me to play now?
Look, something with a bit of a rural feel, maybe True Blue by John Williamson.
Okay, I can do that.
That'd be
thanks
great.
A lot.
Thank
cheers.
You. Okay.
Hey, True Blue, don't say you've gone. Say you've knocked off for a smoker and you'll be back later on. Hey, True Blue. Hey, True Blue. Give it to me straight, face to face. Are you really disappearing? Just another dying race. Hey, True Blue. Is it me and you? Is it mom and dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when he's in a fight? Or will she be right? True Blue. Can you bear the load? Will you tie it up with wire just to keep the show on the road? Hey, True Blue. Hey, True Blue. And be fitting. Is your heart still there? If they sell us out like sponge cake, do you really care? Hey, True Blue. True Blue. Is it me and you? Is it mine? Is it a cockatoo? she be right? True blue, I'm asking you. Is it me and you? Is it mom and dad? Is it a cockatoo?